Welcome to this season's final episode, folks.
And boy, is it a doozy.
Listeners, as you may know, we normally do a specific intro and outro episode for each season, but that's not the case with season three. We figure, why beat around the bush when we can just add to the existing episodes?
Totally. It makes much more sense to the listener and it makes things easier for us.
And at the very end of this episode, we'll summarize our favorite moments from the season.
As well as...
Oh, believe me, I haven't forgotten. As well as our usual end of season head-to-head between me and Ammo to find out who is this season's top thanatologist.
Ooh, top thanatologist. Prime philotemite?
That's right. So stick around until the end to catch that. Hashtag Team Maria.
No, hashtag Somal Squad.
We'll see who the listeners choose. So, what do we have in store until then, Ammo?
Well, before we continue, there's one thing I actually want to make sure of. On the show, generally, we take kind of a lighthearted approach in terms of tone and what have you. That's kind of the point, right? We do this to make the concepts we talk about much less intimidating to talk about. But this lighthearted tone that we take, it's pretty much grounded in empathy, right? We're not here to poke fun at historical individuals or make light of anything.
Yeah, totally. When we're brainstorming a season, for example, we think of it as kind of like an overarching story. So we have to consider things like, what key issues do we need to address this season? Who are the best people to speak to about this? And what's the most engaging way to tell these stories?
Yep. So we think about what we'd like to hear and how we'd like to hear it. So that's how we come up with shows like this, specifically this episode. Having a lighthearted discussion about strange deaths in history is a great palate cleanser for some of the deeper stuff we've explored. That's what makes this show so unique compared to other media in the death space, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at least I think so. It's a lot like real life. Grief is not linear, so we try to find the laughs where we can. Being empathetic and sensitive is central to what we do. And if we weren't, there's no way we'd get to the amazing caliber of guests that we do.
Good point. And look, if you want a podcast about death and grief that takes a more conventional tone, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that by now, you should already know that this isn't the show for you. You're right. We laugh, we tell stories. That's what works for us. And it works for our audience too.
Yep. And we know that because we've had so many people reach out and say things like, I love how accessible you've made the concepts of death, dying, and grief. We know that we're doing something right.
Right. And that's also coming from people who never thought about grief in the first place. And even people who've included their kids in the discussion.
Yeah, totally.
So let's take our serious hats back off for a second. Where were we?
I was actually asking you about today's episode.
Right. Yep. Thank you. Well, today we are bringing back the fan favorite, This Is Your Death.
Woo! Party time!
And if you don't know, that's the show where we compare some of the strangest, weirdest, and sometimes ironic deaths ever recorded.
That's right. As a refresher, last time we did this, we did a little Greece versus England thing between Ammo and I in terms of interesting deaths throughout history. I, of course, covered ancient Greece, including the man who got his pet donkey drunk and found it so funny that he laughed himself to death.
Classic.
Oh, and the philosopher who died due to cocooning himself in cow poop. I totally forgot about that one until now.
Yep. I was representing the UK with examples of Tommy Cooper, the famous comedian that died on stage on live TV, to the rapturous applause of the audience, who all thought it was part of the act.
Tragic, but also strangely poetic too.
Totally, yeah. My other one was the English king from the 1300s that, I can't believe I have to read this again, but a red hot poker inserted into anus.
Oh my God, I also forgot about that too.
Yeah, me too. But God. If I had to relearn it, so did you.
Fair. So what are we doing this time around?
Well, this time we didn't want to pigeonhole ourselves into a specific era or place. So we both went away, collected some of the strangest recorded deaths we could, and basically we'll be taking it in turns, story versus story. How does that sound?
I think that sounds fantastic. So, who wants to go first?
The floor is yours.
All right. So, I thought it would be very poetic if I was to mirror my story in the very first episode of This Is Your Death. Another person who laughed themselves to death.
Another one? What in history is that funny that two people have keeled over from it?
Don't be jealous, Mr. Comedian. So I learned about this death from an episode of Curious and Unusual Deaths.
Which I had no knowledge of prior to coming up with this whole This Is Your Death format, by the way, listeners.
It honestly seems like your kind of show. I actually can't believe you never heard about it before.
I was more of a Mythbusters guy.
Okay, that's fair. That's actually a really good show. So a bit of context, Dr. Clifford Kunn is an expert on how laughter affects the human body. In appropriate doses, it helps to reduce stress, decrease pain, stabilize moods, our brains, inspires creativity, and actually promotes overall long-term health.
Well, unless it kills you, of course.
Yeah, right, of course, up until that moment. So this doctor makes an appearance in the relevant episode of the show and provides more scientific oversight behind the situation, which is interesting, I think. So anyways, on March 24th, 1975, Alex Mitchell was sitting at home enjoying an episode of The Goodies. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, it's an old English show, Bill Oddie and all that.
I figured you would know it. So for those who may be unaware, this was an old show with a trio of British comedians performing skits and sketches. This Bill Oddie was one of them, right?
Yeah, but that show's from the 70s. People of my generation mostly know Bill Oddie from what he did after. It was like TV shows about bird watching and nature and stuff.
That's so British and also so wholesome. You'd never have known he was kind of responsible for a man laughing to death.
Wow. What happened?
Well, according to my research, one of those comedy routines was so funny that it ultimately put Alex into a fit of laughter that lasted over 25 minutes.
Over 25 minutes. Do we know which skit it was?
I don't think we do, but it has to be funnier than a drunk donkey, right?
Well, you're giving British comedy in the 70s way too much credit there.
I mean, maybe. Now, you may be wondering, what's wrong with laughing for 25 minutes? Well, back to Dr. Kunn, who does a minute-by-minute breakdown. At the three-minute mark of laughing, your chest muscles are hard at work, along with your abdomen.
Yeah, think about how much your abs hurt after a few minutes of laughing. And this guy here did like nearly 30 minutes?
Yes, exactly. Now, by the six-minute mark, your heart rate increases to more than double your resting rate. After this point, your muscles can actually go into a state of oxygen debt, and it impacts your heart's ability to supply oxygen fast enough for the rest of your body.
And that's just around the six-minute mark. We've still got 19 minutes to go with this guy.
It's kind of unbelievable, the science behind this, actually. It's further explained that after this point, you lose control of smooth muscles.
Smooth muscles?
Yeah, so smooth muscles, you can kind of think of them as what controls contractions in the body.
Okay.
So around the 20-minute mark, these controls kind of go a little bit haywire, and you also lose control of sphincters in the body. Yep, so that's like your colon, muscles in the lungs. Basically, all the muscles sort of automatically working lose control. At this point, a person would be unable to control if they cry or urinate.
That sounds rough.
Yeah. And it was said that following his death, his wife, Nessie, wrote to the show's stars, who were Tim, Graham, and Bill, to thank them for making his final 30 minutes enjoyable.
Well, that's a kind of a wholesome end to that story.
Well, this Bill Oddie guy does seem wholesome. He does love birds.
But like, so what was the actual cause of death? Was it like heart stuff, like the Greek donkey man?
That's the thing. We're looking back on this through the lens of modern medicine back in the 70s. They weren't too specific and just kind of ruled it as heart failure, which isn't technically wrong. But more recently, his granddaughter Lisa suffered a cardiac event at age 23 in 2012.
Oh.
She thankfully survived, but she was diagnosed with long QT syndrome, a condition that affects certain people when they exercise, or when experiencing intense emotions such as fear or laughter. And guess what?
It's genetic.
Bingo. So 37 years later, doctors think that he also had long QT syndrome, attributing to his laughing fit death.
Whoa, that's fascinating. So also, it's good that his granddaughter survived.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, amazing. Okay, so your turn.
Okay, thanks. So have you heard of death by beard?
I already have so many questions.
I know, it sounds like one of those straight to DVD horror movies. All right, so as someone who became the proud owner of a beard during the pandy, I can respect a good beard.
Pandy? That's what this is?
Pandemic, yeah.
Okay.
COVID lockdowns, remember those?
Right, how could I forget?
Yeah, so anyway, death by beard. In the 1500s, in the town of Brno am Inn, that's in Austria.
Don't you dare do the Arnold voice.
Fine. In the Austrian town of Brno am Inn in the 1500s, there was a man called Hans Steininger. Now, Hans was already the beloved governor, which is basically the mayor of the town, 6 times in a row, by the way. But more importantly, he was known for his incredible beard that stretched over 4 feet long, which he normally kept neatly tucked in a pocket of his.
Oh, that's so cute, like a little pocket beard. That probably had a lot to do with his success as mayor. Undecided voters are an easily impressionable bunch.
100%. But you think the novelty of the beard would wear off after a term or two, but like 6 terms?
Must have been good at his job, I guess.
Maybe. So all was well in Brno am Inn until 1567.
Not 1567.
Right? One night, a huge fire broke out and spread all throughout the town. As some slept, people were running around and panicking, trying to stop the spread. Fetch the governor! Fetch our noble Hans Steininger, they probably said.
Oh God, you just couldn't help yourself, could you?
Had to be done.
Did it, though? Did it?
Okay, fine. To the country of Austria, I'm sorry.
There you go.
To all 12 of you living there.
Okay.
So now, Governor Steininger, who, like most of the town, was sleeping, was jolted awake by the panic. Obviously, at night, and in the privacy of your home, in the comfort of your own bed, you would unpocket your pocket beard, would you not? You got to let it breathe for a little bit, right?
Sure. Sure, of course. I do that every night.
So, in all the panic, he rushes out of his quarters and forgets to tuck in his beard. And as he runs for the stairs, he steps on his beard, fumbles it, and falls down the stairs, snapping his neck.
Oh my God. I was not expecting that. Jeez. Also, technically, it was the fall that killed him. Do we know about this because it was written out? Like a death certificate or something? I don't even know what you would have at that time.
Nope. Root cause was the beard, right? Besides, if you can do a second person laughing to death, I get to have killer beard, okay?
Okay, fair, I guess. So this poor town had to rebuild and elect a new, potentially beardless mayor?
I mean, probably, but there's more. So how do we know this, you ask? I refuse to take what you say at face value, I hear you say. How can you prove this isn't just a story? Well, because that exact beard in question is still on display today.
I'm sorry, what?
That's right, they kept receipts. So it turns out, if you really like your mayor and his famous beard, you can just cut it off his corpse, preserve it, and display it in a local museum.
So, somewhere in Austria, there's a 450-year-old beard on display? That is not what I was expecting as a takeaway from the story.
Right? It's actually kind of wholesome when you think about it. You know, given how all the townspeople loved him, like all the years it took him to grow out his beard and the sudden tragedy of his death. The townspeople wanted to preserve the beard and obviously Steininger's legacy. So they kept it as a town heirloom.
So I have to ask, which museum?
I knew you'd ask way ahead of you. It's the District Museum Herzogsburg in Brno.
And I think that might be now on my bucket list. Look, I get why they want to preserve it, but I'm also of the mind to think, why not just let the person and all the parts of their body rest in peace?
I mean, yeah, I guess. But he was pretty well known. And you know how people unearth bodies in ancient tombs for science and archaeology or body parts?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Whenever something like that happens, I always think of one of my friends, Peter, and he has a really good quote that he said to me once that I think about often, and it's, how much time has to pass before grave robbing becomes archaeology?
That's a good one. I like that.
Yep. But, you know, who am I to judge? I'm not an archaeologist.
Yeah. To quote Indiana Jones, that beard belongs in a museum.
Valid. Fair. Yeah. So it's strange to be known as the town where the mayor's beard killed him.
Well, it's either that or...
Or what?
Well, listeners, if you recognize the name of Steininger's town, Braunau am Inn, that's because it's known as the birthplace of another famous Austrian.
Oh. Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Nope. The other famous Austrian.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Adolf Hitler.
Well, that sucks. That poor town. You're either the birthplace of a monster or the town with a mayor killing facial hair.
Yep, we'd all rather pick the beard, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, 100%. That town seems to have a very odd history with facial hair.
Oh, indeed it does. So that was death by beard. What's next from you?
Okay, so I have death by deodorant. How does that sound?
Wow. New fear unlocked.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Have you heard of the show 1,000 Ways to Die?
I have not.
It used to air on Spike TV and I was obsessed. That show and trips to the ER, super fascinating.
The more I learn about your childhood, the more your adulthood makes sense.
Thank you. I'm healing my inner child with this podcast as much as I am educating other people. Okay, so the year is 1998 and Jonathan Capewell is living in Oldham, UK.
Oh, okay, would you stop killing English people? And it's Oldham, not Oldham.
I swear, it's a coincidence. I'm not doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, he was 16 years old and was obsessed with smelling nice, according to people close to him, which 16-year-old boy isn't. Did you have that too in your high school, by the way, where you would just like have a hallway close to the guy's changing room and it would just intensely smell of Axe body spray? Did you have that?
Yeah, yeah, we had exactly the same thing. Even the brand, Axe, we have it in the UK, but it's called Lynx. It's the same brand. So, and it's used by exactly the same kind of people.
So fascinating. The UK is so different, yet so same-ish. It's like a rainy, bizarro world.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Jonathan would cover his entire body in deodorant at least twice a day to make sure he smelled good for the ladies. This resulted in him having 10 times, I repeat, 10 times the lethal dosage of propane and butane in his bloodstream, absorbed by his body.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. Are those chemicals actually in deodorants?
So apparently, at least at that time, and potentially now, yes. People are so worried about aluminum in their deodorants, but according to the United States Environmental Protection Agency, it says that propane and butane are used as propellants of aerosol shaving creams, skin fresheners, makeup, hair conditioners, deodorants, cosmetics, and personal hygiene products.
Oh, we gotta start reading labels, man.
Gotta learn to read first, dude. So, so this Jonathan having 10 times the lethal limit, this obviously would affect his body.
Well, yeah, he's more flammable gas than human at that point. Did he like go up in flames or something?
No, the chemicals resulted in him having a heart attack.
What? That's unreal.
Yeah, so to give you guys an idea, there was apparently 0.37 milligrams of butane per liter in his blood, and roughly the same amount of propane too.
Okay.
And it said that a level of 0.1 milligrams per liter of blood can be fatal.
Hold on. So he had nearly 0.4 milligrams of butane and nearly 0.4 milligrams of propane per liter of blood, but the lethal limit is 0.1 for each. And he had 0.4 nearly for both. Jeez. So with that much in his system, I can't even imagine how much he would have sprayed. Like, surely you'd choke on the spray before it got that bad.
Yep. So that's death by deodorant. I mean, remember, kids, smelling nice isn't always worth smelling like a corpse later.
Solid life advice. I mean, it's tragic as hell, but damn. We have time for one more each.
Okay.
So I've got a more recent example here of an ironic tragedy that's happened.
Okay.
So you know what a segue is, right?
Yeah, they're those really annoying one-liners you use to shoehorn in the next topic.
No, I mean the personal vehicle thing.
Oh, I know. Those two-wheeled self-balancing scooter things that people went like super like fanatical about in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I saw a tour that used those actually in Greece and also in San Francisco.
Yep, that's the one. So let me ask you, how do you think the former owner of Segway Inc. died?
Dude, did he die from a Segway?
Yeah.
What? I guess that's more of a danger if you own the company. You'd be surrounded by them at work, right? So who was this guy?
So his name was Jimmy Heseldon. He was a British coal miner who became an entrepreneur, basically making lots of money in what's called a HESCO bastion barrier system.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
For my research, it's basically a collapsible wire mesh that's used to like protect blast walls against small arms fire and explosives.
Oh, okay. So war. Got it. Carry on.
Well, yeah, war or defense or whatever. Anyway, everything I've read about Jimmy Heseldon suggests that he was actually a decent dude, known for his charity donations to good causes and stuff like that. You know, and while I'm featuring this death due to its ironic nature, it's obviously tragic.
Of course. And actually also kind of sort of recent, right?
Yeah, it was in 2010. So we're talking nearly 15 years ago. It's been a minute.
All right. Progression of time is linear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like any good businessman, Jimmy wanted to diversify his investment portfolio, right?
Right.
So in 2009, he bought Segway Inc. According to what I found, less than a year later, on the morning of September 6, 2010, Jimmy was riding a rugged country version of the company's Segway.
Oh, no.
And he fell from a cliff footpath near his home in Boston Spa, just outside of Leeds, England.
Oh, my God. That's brutal.
Yeah. Definitely didn't expect to learn about Segway being a means of someone's demise, let alone the guy who owned the company.
Yeah, I would not have expected that either, to be honest.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Jimmy Heseldon.
Yeah. R.A.P., man.
All right. So that was the death of the owner of Subway.
Cool.
That was the death of the owner of Segway Inc. by Segway. Okay, so it's time for your final death of this episode and this season.
Okay, so Ammo, you'll be pleased to know that this one is not the death of an English person.
Okay, good, because there's hardly any of us left after your rampage.
This is death by volcano.
We're supposed to do unusual deaths. Like, volcanoes are pretty well known for killing.
Oh, I was unclear. This death is by jumping into a volcano.
There we go. That's more like it. I mean, RIP still.
Of course. So Empedocles was a Greek pre-Socratic philosopher.
Ah, one of yours. Okay.
Got to stick with what you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Empedocles, it is said he basically established the four ultimate elements which make up the structures in the world. So that would be fire, air, earth, and water, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess fire is the more lethal of those.
Well, it depends on the depth of the water and, of course, how much air there is between you and the ground.
Yeah, it's true.
So a man named Thigenes Liatris, I think that's his name, not too sure, was a biographer of the Greek philosophers at the time, and he recorded the epic death of Empedocles.
Ooh.
According to him, the volcano in question was Mount Etna in modern-day Sicily.
Sicily is part of Italy, you donut, not Greece.
I mean, we're probably going to start a lot of rage comments, but it was originally Greek.
Oh, wow. So we've pissed off both the Austrians and the Italians in one episode? That's impressive.
I think we'll both die on this hill or volcano, depending. So Empedocles had told all of the people that by jumping into a volcano, his body would vanish and he would be turned into an immortal god in front of everyone.
So he did it willingly, like he didn't slip. These Greek philosophers are on another level, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. So as you can imagine, the volcano had different things in mind. And once he leaped in, the only thing the volcano burped back out was not a vision of a god, but one of his charred bronze sandals, revealing to his followers that he did not, in fact, become an immortal god. He just became volcano food, sadly.
I mean, as misguided as it is, that's still kind of badass when you think about it.
It's certainly a memorable way to go out.
Now, I'm no expert on volcanoes, but am I right in thinking that he probably burned up before even hitting the lava, right?
I mean, probably, but don't ruin it for him. He already lost a sandal. He doesn't have much at this point.
True. Okay, my bad. A noble death, sir.
Yeah, totally. Horace, a Roman lyric poet, actually also refers to the death of Empedocles in his work Ars Poetica. The excerpt reads, "Help me, citizens. None will bother to pull him out. If anyone did choose to help and let down a rope, I'd say, who knows if he didn't do that on purpose and doesn't want to be saved? And I'll tell the tale of the Sicilian poet's death, how Empedocles, keen to be an immortal god, coolly leapt into burning Etna. Grant poets the power and right to kill themselves. Who saves one against his will, murders him. It's not his first time, nor, if he's rescued, will he become human now and stop craving fame in death."
Wait, so like, he lived long enough to realize it was a mistake and plead for help. That's not going to help with the whole I'm an immortal god argument, is it?
Right, but hey, the ancient poem we got out of this is absolute fire.
It's too soon, Maria.
Oh, 2010 is fine, but 434 BC is too soon? What else have you got?
Well, my last one here is Death by Titanic Pose.
I mean, of course.
It's exactly as you might suspect. So a tourist slipped while trying to copy Kate Winslet's famous pose from the Titanic film. The one where she stands on the railing on the front of the ship. What's the front of a ship called?
It's called a bow, Emma.
That's a one. So you stand on the railing of the bow of the ship and you spread your arms out and you're like, I'm on top of the world. And then you get like 100 Oscars and a free pass to make a boring film about blue people.
Of course. So what exactly happened?
So this was in 2005. The unfortunate victim, Emma Blackwell, was 31. She had apparently been drinking, which when you pair that with the wet and slippery conditions aboard a ferry, it's going to lead to tragic results. She apparently fell from the 9th deck of the ferry and ultimately drowned. So it is, you know, a pretty sad and shocking incident.
Oh my God, that's terrible. Such a short and fleeting moment to feel like on top of the world and then to go to that.
According to the article I read, her family said that she loved to lark about.
Sorry, what?
Lark about. It's English. It means to enjoy yourself in a silly way, to like mess about.
See what I mean, folks? The UK is a little alien bizarro fantasy island where just words are made up.
Okay, so aside from our bearded boy, Hans Steininger, and your Sicilian Greek volcano man, all of today's deaths have been English. We're not a nation of careful people, clearly.
Guys, we swear that was not planned.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, rest easy, Emma.
Indeed. Yep.
Okay. Those were some very intriguing tales of tragedy. A reminder to stay safe out there, folks. With the stories told, that means it's time to wrap up this season. Before we go head-to-head for the Philotimo Life Season 3 Top Thanatologist, let's have a quick recap of what we've explored this season.
Great idea. In all the hassle of daily life, it's easy to forget to look back and reflect on how much you actually have learned over the last few months.
For sure. So to recap the season, in episode 17, we learned about taking death education to a higher level with Susan Strigley.
Mm-hmm. And then in episode 18, we explored some personifications of death in popular culture, starting with a brief history. Then we looked at the character of death in the Sandman comics, and then the Adventure Time cartoon.
Episode 19, Heather Macy walked us through community-led death education.
In episode 20, we brought back a history of death, diving into Norse mythology and Vodou beliefs.
Episode 21, all of the green burials with Candace Curry, hashtag mushroom suit gang.
Yep. Episode 22, we looked at death and grief in video games, starting with a quick analysis of the concept of death in the medium. And then we focused on Limbo and A Mortician's Tale.
Episode 23 was Death and Grief in Corporate, featuring Sarah Hyens.
Yep. And then that brings us to today, episode 24, This Is Your Death. We were all here, so we don't need to recap that one.
Yeah, our ADHD attention spans are bad, but not that bad. So, Ammo, what would you say has been your favorite or most memorable part of the season?
In terms of what we've looked at, I mean, again, it's super difficult because I was way more hands-on in terms of topics for this season than before. So it's all my favorite. But I think that finally getting to share my comic book love with you all was pretty special. Death, as she appears in the Sandman comics, has been the number one thing I wanted to talk about from day one, like literally the first thing. So awesome. Yep.
I could definitely see the passion and also the desperation for her, to be real, coming out of you in that episode.
And that's why I don't share things. How about you?
I think for me, my favorite episode that we did together was the Death in Video Games one. The field research for this was lots of fun. And also getting to bring in expert guests, Susan, Heather, Candace, Sarah, having these discussions with the show being a vehicle for such incredible knowledge, it just never gets old.
Yeah, totally. And I really like the balance this season we have between like core learning and discussions with experts, and then the lighter, more explorative pop culture episodes.
Yeah, I mean, a central aspect of Philotimo life is balance. I would say one of my favorite episodes with the guests would have to be learning about green burials and what that process entails. And I guess by extension, learning that you also want to become a tree next to me for all eternity.
Change my mind. I want to be put in bronze sandals and thrown into Mount Etna, please.
As long as you're not hoping to turn into an immortal god, that should be fine.
Legal disclaimer, don't jump into volcanoes, people. I feel like that would probably trigger an eruption or something.
Right, but remember, you're not a volcano expert, I guess? Disclaimer?
That's true, yeah. All right, for season 4, I'll brush up on my volcano knowledge and I'll randomly drop volcano facts into episodes. How's that?
Oh my god, that's actually amazing. Let's do it. It'll be so funny.
Right? But like, with no context, so like, people who are just joining us in season 4 have no idea what's going on.
It'll just be like, welcome to season 4, everyone. On today's show, we'll be looking at death in relationships and what that does to people.
Did you know that the word volcano comes from the Roman name Vulcan? Yeah, that's so good.
Oh my
like,
God.
Start tripping people out. Like, did I just hear that? What's happening? And then whenever anyone points it out, we'll just deny it happened.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know if gaslighting our listeners is the best strategy to a successful podcast.
All right. Good point. One question I did have for you, though, is what are your top moments from this season?
My top moments? There's always so many. It's really hard to like pick like the favorite. If I had to choose, I would say it's the opportunity I get to connect with all of our guests and hearing their stories, as well as getting to do an episode on personifications of death, because that's always fascinated me. What about you? What's been the most surprising thing that you've learned?
Okay, so two things spring to mind, actually. The first is when we calculated the immediate impact of COVID-related deaths on people around them. I think that was in the Death and Grief in a Corporate World episode. Mm-hmm. That was after you spoke with the founder of the lodge, Sarah Hyens.
Oh, yes. That was so mind-blowing. That whole episode is full of eye-opening moments.
Yeah, right? Like learning how this almost domino effect of a single death can have on the mental health of people around them. And then the knock-on effect all of that associated leave will have. It's terrifying. My other choice isn't as scary. So it's when I got to go and deep dive into Haitian voodoo. I got to expel some harmful colonial myths. That's always fun. Mm. I got to really explore what's a vast, beautiful, and really vibrant culture. It's a good episode.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I agree. We always go into these episodes with a lot of research to do. And we're like, oh my gosh, where do we start? There's so much to look into. And then a few days later, we're like, oh my God, look at all this amazing stuff I learned. I want to share it with all of you.
Yeah, right. And obviously, you're the primary thanatologist on the show, but you know, I don't imagine you get as much of those eureka learning moments as I do when speaking to guests and stuff, but I'm sure there's still been some stuff that surprised you this season, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to pick from, but if I had to pick one thing that surprised me, I would say just how much media content has been created that actually incorporates death and death literacy related themes. Mm-hmm. Like we actually don't really recognize or notice it in real life.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So that just leaves us with one last thing.
That it does.
It's time to break out the Wheel of Misfortune for the last time this season, because we're going head to head.
Well, that was far too dramatic for what's basically just a game of trivia, right?
Stakes, Ammo. It's season 3, Top Thanatologist. Tension. We got to get people excited, pumped up, invigorated. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, in that case, the winner of today's challenge gets to murder the other one.
Okay. That's dramatic, sir.
Okay. Sorry. The dramatic music got to me. Sorry. I meant to say that the winner of this season gets to write an opening statement for the loser to say on the first episode of season 4. And it can be anything. Well, anything within reason. Mostly we could just try to embarrass each other.
Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this, but yeah, sure, let's do it.
So to recap, Maria and I will go head to head in a variety of trivia questions related to what we've learned in today's episode and the entire season. Best of 3 questions, and the winner gets to write an embarrassing opening line for the loser to say on the Philitima Life season 4 first episode.
All right, let's go. It's on.
All right, so from today's episode, what year did the fateful fire happen that resulted in Hans Steininger stepping on his beard, tripping, and falling to his death?
Dude, that's so specific. And you know I'm like so bad with numbers.
1567.
Oh my God.
That's one wrong for you. One more and you're reading something horrendous next season.
Okay, you know what? Gloves are off, buddy. You want to play rough? Fine. You're terrible at Greek names. So from today's episode, what was the name of the philosopher who threw himself into the volcano?
I know that. It was Euripides. Boom. What?
No, Euripides was a playwright, genius. That is 1-1.
Okay.
The confidence that you had with that answer.
Oh, damn. All right. Fine. Okay. I concede that. Okay. So in episode 19, Community Death Education with the fantastic Heather Macy, at the very end, we gave a province-by-province breakdown of some of Canada's community-based grief resources, right?
Oh, geez. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, which one of these was not one of the ones we listed? A, Bereaved Families of Ontario. B, the Nightingale Centre for Grieving Children. C, Prairie Cares. D, Adams House. E, British Columbia Bereavement Helpline. Or F, Willow House.
You made a mistake here, Ammo. I know these very well. Prairie Cares sounds very, very nice, but you made that one up. Am I right? aren't I?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, correct. Prairie Cares is not real, and therefore not one of the community-based grief resources we highlighted in episode 19.
If you get this next one wrong and you're the loser.
Nope, I'm not worried because I'm going to get the next one right. I'm not worried.
Okay. From episode 23, Death and Grief in Corporate. After speaking with Sarah Hines, we looked into productivity loss as a result of grief and bereavement.
Yep, I remember. Yep.
So, according to the LeMaid Institute, who deliver employee experience research to help improve people and business results, in US dollars, how much is lost annually in productivity within companies associated with grief and bereavement? Is it 25 billion, 75 billion, or 95 billion?
Okay. I remember this one.
No pressure, but you got to get this one right, or else you're going to say some very lovely things about me at the start of next season.
Okay. So I remember I got some of these right when you asked me in the episode.
Mm-hmm, you did. You actually got this one correct before, which means that it's double pressure to get it right now. But you are terrible with pressure, and I know your weaknesses.
Okay, so I think I said 25 billion because the others seem too high. So the annual loss of productivity within US companies and US dollars to grief and bereavement or whatever is 25 billion, right?
Are you sure?
No.
Well, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. For the love of God, say something.
You are wrong.
What?
The correct answer is 75 billion. The last time you did some wild Professor X mind reading to guess that I was trying to fake you out with the higher number, and you got it right.
Let me see that.
But not this time.
All right, then.
Oh, man. The things I'm going to make you open season 4 with, Ammo, you're going to be so nice to me. Or maybe I'll make you cancel yourself. In any case, it'll be amazing. I can't wait for next season.
Well, I'd like to formally announce my resignation from season 4. I'm a really busy man.
Nope. And with that, I am the season's top thanatologist. Ammo is the loser. And I'm going to write some embarrassing things for him in the opener of season 4.
You know what? That's fine. Whatever it is, everyone will know that you wrote it and I'm just reading it.
That is not the point. I want to hear you be nice to me for once. And if this is what it takes, then so be it. To next season.
Yeah, to season 4.
So enthusiastic. I love it. Well, that about wraps up this season of Filotimo Life.
As always, listeners, we're always here, unfortunately for me. So much like with every other season, reach out and let us know how we did.
Did you have a favorite episode or a favorite story that we covered?
Yep. Or even if you have thoughts on something you'd like us to cover and explore, let us know.
You can reach out to us on all social platforms at Filotimo Life. That's PHILOTIMOLIFE.
Or at filotimolife.com too.
And of course, we want to give a gigantic, enormous, universal-sized shout-out to Stacey for all the incredible editing and mixing she's done on the show.
Yeah, totally. And a massive thank you to all of our guests who chose to speak with us, share their stories and experiences within the deaf education and deaf literacy space. So that's Susan Strigley, Heather Macy, Candice Curry, Sarah Hines. Look, I'm just a guy here telling jokes, but these guests, all the work they do is so powerful and impactful to so many people. It genuinely was an honor hearing from you.
I co-sign that. And for those who are interested in learning more about Filotimo Life's corporate grief training or grief coaching, please be sure to reach out to us at info@filotimolife.com.
And last but not least, thank you, listeners, Filotimites, fans, family, friends, therapists, for tuning in. This was an amazing season, and a big part of that is because you listened and you engage with our content, and that gives us more things to come back to every time. So both Maria and I look forward to you guys hearing our voices again.
Oh, especially in that opening episode of season 4 where Ammo is going to read out his credit card details.
No.
So it's goodbye from...
Yeah. Goodbye from me, because I'm going into hiding.
It's goodbye from me.
And me.
But not forever.
Next time, whatever you make me say, if I do an impression while I'm doing it, it won't be so bad. Whatever it is, right?
Sure, Jan. Sure. Oh my God, I don't think I was recording.
You serious?
I was recording.
Are you?
I just wanted to get that on video.
Asshole. Said slurs earlier.